is everyone?
Good.
Wonderful.
Excellent.
I have great news for you.
Yes.
You are loved, and you are blessed, and you are appreciated more than you're able to understand. Please remember that. All right, with that said, we'll begin, as we always do, with spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what the universe, or this thing God, already knows about us. And we're asking this energy, this vibration, this life itself, to work with us, to work through us, and to bring to us what we want. I will do this in the first person. All those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And here's what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am truly one with the only life there is, and that is the life of God. And that life is the life of good. It is a life of goodness. And I use that power, I use that life right here and right now to bring into my life prosperity, abundance, and money. And I let that be so, and so it is.
So it is.
Last week, Candace brought in a wonderful treatment on prosperity. I had it copied and gave you each a copy tonight. If you'll look at that copy and the other thing that I handed out to you, you will notice, you don't have them, they're right here. You can go right through that. If you look at treatment, the reason why I'm doing this, we have several people in here who apparently are a little bit confused of what treatment is. And a lot of people have misconceived ideas left over from other types of institutions, mainly brand name religions. So, in order to do a treatment, this one that I wrote down here is 7 steps. You can use 7 steps or you can use 5 steps. But please remember, it doesn't matter. This is just to organize your mind. People say, I don't know if I did that right. Give that idea up. Everything you do in life is right. There's no mystical, magical thing in these treatments. What do you think the most important thing is when you do a treatment?
Thought and feeling.
Thought and feeling, yes. The most important thing is belief. You have to have thought and feeling. But you have to believe that what you're saying is true. If you notice, I get louder when I do a treatment. I deliberately do that to convince myself that what I'm saying is true. I don't have to convince God of that. I don't have to convince the universe of that. When we do a treatment work, we're convincing ourselves. I always start out by telling you we're affirming or reaffirming what the universe already knows about us. The only thing about a treatment, and Raymond Charles Barker, you will see here where it says denial. Thought patterns in my subconscious mind that conflict with this truth are now erased. The tape is gone. Raymond Charles Barker, who was a great metaphysician and had a church at Lincoln Center in New York and could fill Alice Tooley Hall, said, if you're going to do a denial step, it must be swift. Why did he say that? Because people will start a treatment and then they'll go into denial. And they get so involved in the denial, they forget the treatment. So now what your mind is working on is the denial and not affirming what you really want. So if you're going to add the denial step, you have to make it swift and get rid of it right away. But please, anything you do, there are tons of people that can step out and do a prayer. My friend, Doug the Baptist, doesn't know how to do a treatment, but yet he can get what he wants. How does he do it? He believes, and he just goes out and says, now God, you have to do this. And God does it. It's done with your belief. There's no magic in this. This is just an organized thing. It's called scientific prayer. Why is it called scientific prayer? Because it's organized. That's the only reason that it's called that. So use this as a guideline, and a guideline only. Then go about it. Candace's treatment that she brought last week is a wonderful example. It has all the right steps in it. It does all the right things, and that's why it sounds so good. Now, there are many practitioners who love to hear themselves talk, and they do a treatment that will go on forever. And by the time it's done, I'm so bored, I could scream. Yeah, I've been there, done that, right? They have no idea. Now, you cannot go on that long with something. You get tired of it. You know, just come out and ask for what you want. It doesn't have to be flowery. It doesn't have to have any of the right language in it. But you're talking to a thing that we call intelligent. And we must talk to it intelligently. Instead of babbling and going on like some people do. And then they wonder why their treatments don't work well. I could tell them lot of reasons, but that is one of them why it doesn't work. But don't be afraid to do it, and don't think that you're doing it wrong. You should never think that you're doing anything wrong in your life. You cannot say, I'm divinely guided, and then say, I wonder if I did that right. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. The other thing, when you're doing a treatment and you don't manifest what you want. You can only manifest at the level of your consciousness. What we are always doing is trying to stretch our consciousness so that we can receive. I'll give you an example of what I mean. How many people have an old computer? All right, if somebody sends you a message on that computer that has 10,000 megabytes, your computer cannot handle that. It will not take it. So you have to get a bigger computer. You have to get so that you can hear that. So you do a treatment. I want $1 million. And you're waiting around for the $1 million. Your consciousness can only handle $1,000. You have to get a bigger consciousness. You have to stretch your consciousness and see the $1 million, and then it'll come to you. It's there. Do you ever get one of those on your computer? Somebody's sending you something, the computer just stands there and goes, well, that's what the universe wants to do. It's standing there going, it wants to give, it wants to give. But if you didn't make the container, you have to have a bigger container. How do you get a bigger container? Coming to this class, number one. You learn to stretch your consciousness. You learn to say, oh, I can only conceive $1,000. I'll conceive $1,500, then I'll conceive $2,000, and then it'll just go on and on and on. But it's a stretching thing. This universe doesn't deny you anything. You deny yourself by not preparing the vessel for it to contain. So you're always stretching your consciousness. All the people that have come here, all of you, and have been coming like for 2 or 3 years, what do you think the main thing is that I'm conveying to you? What am I trying to teach you?
To love yourself?
Well, that's a good one.
That we deserve it.
Yes.
Believe in yourself.
Yes.
One with God.
Yes.
And to open up to receive.
Yes.
Expand your consciousness.
Yes.
Hello.
I am teaching you to be unlimited. And when you're not getting what you want, it's because you still have a limited idea. God is unlimited. And you must come up to that. And when somebody says that can't be done, say to them, huh, watch me. And go out and do it. And go out and do it. And forget about that thing out there, that world, and that race mind who says things. And we talk about race mind a lot. Race mind means the consensus of the race, what most people are thinking. And you'd see it all the time. I turned that television set on last night. And right away, of course, there's race mind. What else do I expect, you know, when I turn that on? And I was watching E-Ring. I don't know if anyone knows who that is. And the main character, anyway, they were doing something biological. And they said, well, it'll be very difficult to figure out if they really have it, because this is the time of year that everyone has a cold. Well, I don't have a cold. But you see, people believe that it's this time of year. Everyone gets a cold. Everyone gets the flu. That's a limited idea. Race mind is always a limited idea. You must get an unlimited idea of yourself. Always. Nothing is impossible. Now somebody will say, oh yes, but that's impossible. It's not impossible. Keep doing it and you'll find out that it's not impossible. And we hear stories all the time about people who've done what we call impossible. But nothing is impossible. If you want to do something, have something, whatever you want, it's possible for you to do that. Nothing stands in your way but your own thinking. Nothing stands in your way but your own thinking. So think bigger thoughts. Remember always what I say, if you're not getting what you want, your God's too small. Pick that God out and get a bigger God. Because if you have a limited consciousness, you think God has the same consciousness. So you don't get it. So anyway, back to treatment. Now you pray for exactly what you want, and you tell the universe exactly what you want. And then you leave that open. By knowing after you've done your treatment, after you say, I want a wonderful career. I see myself acting. And it will do this for me and that for me. But I know and I believe that the mind of God knows even more than I know and is able to give me something greater than I can ever imagine. You have to allow that to happen. And when it happens, you'll say, oh, isn't that wonderful? I never thought of that. Of course you never thought of it. You're incapable of thinking of it. But you have to know that the mind that you live, move, and have your being in knows always wants to give you that. Always wants to move you up. Can anyone think God doesn't want you to go backwards in life? Doesn't want you to go backwards in life. Always wants you to go up. I was working with a young fellow for a couple weeks, hated his job, called before I left the house for the class tonight, said, I'm in the neighborhood, can I stop by? I said, well, for about 10 minutes, because I'm going out the door, I have my class to teach. He stopped by to tell me that he got fired. I said, well, congratulations. Isn't that wonderful? I said, now you can go do what you want. You see, you have to give up what you're doing to get what you want. And people want to hang on to the old. When I say hang on to the old, they're old ideas. They don't want to give up old hurts, hates, grudges. Because the mind says, oh, can't do that. Give them up. Give up your ideas. And know that there's a bigger idea out there always for you. And that this universe is sitting there just like that computer going, wants to give it to you, but your container's too small for it. Your container's too small. Once you know that, everything. At the top of here, you'll see I wrote, earnestly desire the highest gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Corinthians 10:22 for the Baptist in the group. Always you have to know that God can think of a better way. But go for what you want. Don't sit around now and say, oh, well, I'll wait for God to do it. You can't do that one either. See, you have to have movement. You have to convince the universe that you're serious about something. Remember, you're pressing against something. This stuff that we don't see that we call air and so forth, everything comes. All things seen come from things that are not seen. All things. So we don't see here, but this, we press against it. With our thoughts, we build a mold. And the universe fills that mold and gives us what we're looking for or something better. And when you get something better, you completely forget what you had in mind. It's just gone because you're so delighted, you know? You're absolutely so delighted with it. People will not give up some of those things. We had to, the other 2 weeks ago, we did empty. You have to empty your mind. You have to empty yourself of all these preconceived notions that you have. And empty yourself of all the preconceived notions you have of God. No one knows. Do you think I know? No, but I believe there is a God. And I believe that God is unlimited. And I believe that all things are possible. And I know that God's my friend. And I can tell you and show you how many things I have gotten through that. And how God has protected me over these years. You know, I should have been dead by now. But I'm not. You know, I'm not dead. So I know. But do I really know God? Do I really have to know every little aspect of God? No, I don't. Do you think I will when I make my transition? No, I don't think so. Because we can say all we are is God, but we are not all that God is. Regardless, we're always going to be finite. God is infinite. And you will never be able to know God completely. give that idea. How many people have changed their idea of what God is since they've come to this class? Yes. But still God. See, we change our ideas about God. And we keep changing those ideas. That makes us unlimited. It makes us unlimited. We can change. Nothing is set in concrete. So think of those things when you're doing treatment work or when you're doing anything. But know that you can. You have to start out with the belief, I can do this. I can have this. I deserve this. I'm worthy. I'm completely lovable. You get all that going. Bingo. You have a demonstration. You have a demonstration. That's how that one is done. Now, are there any questions about treatment so that we get straight here that you do, it's not a mystical, magical thing. It's an organized form of prayer. That is all it is. You can have the 7 steps, which is on the sheet. You can take out that denial step and the reaffirmation step, and then you have 5 steps. The most important step is step number 1. You always have to know that you're one with God. As long as you know step number 1, the rest you can do anything you want with them. But you have to know that you're one with the power that you're asking for. You have to remember that you and God are one in the same thing. That the Creator and the creation are one in the same thing. That is how you're able to create things yourself. And you're not taking one iota away from God. God wants you to do that. Otherwise, you cannot prove that there is a God. You cannot prove that there is a God. We talk a lot about the law of cause and effect. Some people call it the law of cause and effect, the law of cause and consequence, whatever you want to call it. You can go as far as to say karma and all that. It doesn't matter. But it's an immutable law of the universe. How many people here do not believe in gravity? You know the law of gravity. At least you've been told that, and you think, well, I must know the law of gravity. I'm not floating up anywhere. You believe in that. Why not believe in the law of cause and effect? Why not believe in the immutable law of the universe? How many people know matter can neither be created nor destroyed? We learned that scientifically, don't we? Then people say, "What? I'm afraid I'm going to die. I'm afraid of death." Why would you ever be afraid of death? Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It can only change form. It can only change form. How many people went to church and remembered? There is no beginning and there is no end. There's no beginning, there's no end. You think that this is your first time around? You think that all of a sudden, there you were? You've always been. And you always will be. You'll lose these earthly bodies. Which, for some, that's a wonderful blessing. I think it'd be great not to have a body. Think where I could zoom to. You know? I could be all over. I could also look in on things, couldn't I? Think of that one. But there's no beginning, There is no end. It always is. How many people remember for every action
there's an opposite
equal and opposite reaction.
Say that again.
For every action there is an opposite and equal reaction.
That's the law of cause and effect, people. But if you read it in a scientific book and they prove it scientifically, you say, oh yeah. But that doesn't work with me. It doesn't matter how I think. I can think all these horrible, nasty thoughts and nothing will happen. Ha ha ha. I doubt that seriously. You're always causing something. And it has to come back to you. An opposite reaction. We're doing things. How many people realize when I say that we're one with God, we're also one with the universe? God and the universe are one and the same thing. Remember that. You cannot have God and the universe. You can have God as the universe. You can have God as nature. You can have nature. Mother Nature did this, you know, but Father God didn't, you know. That's an impossibility. Why? Because that would be separation. And you can't have separation. So as soon as your mind separates anything, you have to know that you're not hearing the truth. You have to know that right away. Well, this isn't the truth. I'm one with this whole thing. Now, if you're one with the universe and you're one with God, and that God would be incomplete without you, therefore, we are not spectators. This is not a spectator sport, people. We participate in life itself. We participate in the universe itself, and we're always creating something with our thinking. And we know race mind, what it creates. So use your divine mind to create something wonderful for yourself, and know that you're doing it, and you're participating in it. You are always, always across the board. You are always the cause under your own experience. You cannot blame any experience on somebody else. The next thing to do is remember, belief creates experience. Experience does not create belief. But the world tells you, I had this experience, therefore I feel this way. Well, you just don't understand. I wasn't treated well. Who? Ha. Give that up. You have to take the responsibility without shame, guilt, or anything. It becomes very fun. You take the responsibility. Oh my goodness, look. Look how powerful I am. Look what I do. I had a person call me from New York. Never met the person. That would never met him. When he called, he was down in the dumps, and this was happening, that was happening, and he was completely out of money. Now he's an artist. He's got a brand new studio with hot running water. He just sold one painting for $17,000. He's having a show at one of the galleries, and this is going on and that's going on. And he said to me, well, I just don't understand it. Understand it. I said, well, I understand it exactly. You talk to me. I take full credit. I take full credit for that. Anything good happens within 100 miles. I take your credit. Why not? You have to do that for yourselves. I can't say I can help somebody and then they call from New York and say, oh, you're too far away. I can help them. I don't even see them. I don't even know who they are. I know his name, but I don't know him. I've never met him. He's doing well. So this is what you have to remember. You can do this. You can do this. What did the master teacher say? You can do this.
Well.
And greater. Jesus, the master teacher. You can do this and greater. That sort of left out of brand name religions. Don't let that out. Remember that. You say, oh, goody. So you can't say, God shows no favorites. Does everyone believe that? That God shows no favorites? And then say, yes, but Jesus can do it and we can't? If God shows no favorites, here again, it's across the board, isn't it? So you have to do that. This is how we're stretching your consciousness. We're bringing you to a point of belief. Belief in what? Belief in yourself. Belief in yourself. And then your consciousness stays stretched. Now you have a bigger container, don't you, when you ask for something? You can fill it up. It's not going to sit there and go. So that's how you build. That's how you build a consciousness. Buy 3x5 cards. The body embraces what the mind projects. The body embraces what the mind projects. Isn't that wonderful? You see, the body must always follow the mind. If this were not true, your legs would walk away from you. They would. You're the one that's telling me what to do. I'm going to do this one anyway. I debated to do this. If anyone doesn't understand this or takes any type of, not offense, well, I'll read it. What?
Umbrage?
Yes, that's a good word. English, you know. Well, the external environment may be harsh and demanding. It cannot make us sick. It doesn't determine our attitude. It doesn't determine our attitude. How many people do you know on a rainy day get gloomy? It's raining. I'm getting gloomy. What's the rain have to do with it? Not a damn thing. I always look at rain, of course, around here. I just love rain. It's a rarity. But you have to look at rain. It's just liquid sunshine. That's all rain is. But people allow that to change them. They think it's the rain that's done it. How many people say, I get so angry, upset, and stressed out with the freeway. Freeway has power. Aha, somebody's doing it. The freeway has no power over you. External things have no power over you. But we believe that they do. Stop believing that. Stop believing that. Change your attitude. I get in bad moods. You know what I say to myself? I say, Dallas, you need an attitude adjustment. Then I sit down and give myself an adjustment. Works every time. Shifts that right up. You know? But you have to do that for yourself. You have to do that for yourself. Taking responsibility for who you are is the most healing action we can take. I'll read that again. Taking responsibility for who we are is the most healing action we can take. What does that mean, taking responsibility for who we are? Take responsibility that all you are is God. But you are not all that God is. That's your responsibility. To live up to that. Not just use it as a nice little thing to pacify you when you're in this class, but use it all the time. And see it working for you all the time. You see? None of this stuff with the treatments, any of this stuff, all of it works. But none of it is mystical, is magical. It appears to be mystical and magical. We have the saying, you know, God works in strange and mysterious ways. And this is true because we can't think on that level. So when something happens, we think, oh, isn't that a mystery? But we can learn to live in that mystery. We can learn to do that. I had a teacher once that said, why doesn't everyone put a little magic into their life? Why don't you start believing in magic? Now that you don't say in a Baptist church. You get thrown out. They're not into magic because that they think that's witchcraft and everything else. But think how exciting your life would be. And when you learn to do this, and when you learn to use this law of cause and effect, it becomes magical to you. And you're absolutely, oh my, I can't believe it. That this can happen, that I can do all this stuff. But you can do all this stuff. How many people have lost something in their home and cannot find it? And run around crazy looking for that. Because they think it's lost. As soon as you sit down and realize that nothing can be lost in the universe because God knows where everything is, and you take your mind off the idea of loss, you look at the table and there's what you were looking for, and you say, now how did that get there? Have you ever looked for something in a drawer and you swear it's not there? Then you open up the drawer and it's there? Yeah. That's magic. How did it get there? I don't care how it got there. You know, sometimes I think, oh, isn't that wonderful? I'm living with little gnomes and they're doing it for me. I don't care.
Harvey.
And God doesn't care. You see? Do these things. Let this work for you. Let it work. And I know most of her here are using it now. All we're doing is trying to fine-tune it. And all we're also trying to do is make you believe in it more and more so that you really do use it and so you don't get discouraged and say, well, I don't get what I want. How many people here can do the parking spot? If you can do the, do you don't do the parking spot? Sometimes. Why don't you do it all the time? Oh, you walk a lot or what? Learn to do it all the time. And I'll tell you a story about that. The other day, when was it? I was somewhere driving. And I pulled in, and of course, cars galore and all this, that, and the other thing. And I thought, oh. And I said, stop that, Dallas. There's always a place for you in the universe, and I'll be darned, a car pulled out. And in I went. are pulled out. Let the universe accommodate you. It makes room for you. It does these things. Now we all laugh and say, oh yeah, karma. Now if you can do that, you can do anything. Remember, it's the same power. There's not a parking god, you know, and a money god, and a relationship god, and a god that gives you the job you want. It's all one. And if you can do any of it, you can do it all. Just open up to it. What does the mind say immediately when something like that happens? Oh, well, it's only a parking space. That's easy. Anyone can do that. That's easy. Why do you qualify that? If I give you $100, you say, oh, well, that's all. If I gave you $1,000,000, you see?
More, please.
More, please. Absolutely.
Thank you.
So if you can get $100, you can get $1,000,000. God doesn't know the difference. This thing that we call God doesn't know the difference between big and small. That's why I don't kill ants. You know? If I kill an elephant, everyone would get upset. If I kill an ant, no one says, oh, it's only an ant. An elephant and an ant are one in the same thing.
What about a spider?
God. A spider is...
Self-defense.
You think God attacks?
Can I add to that? I used to get a lot of spiders, and I would kill them, and then I would get spider bites in the night. And I know it was that I sent out a signal or something. So then
you killed Fred!
No, now I tell this, I don't even have it, but I just started saying, oh, you know, you need to go outside, there's no food in here, you're going to die. I don't have any spiders anymore, and I don't have spider bites. That's all I can tell you.
When I
just told them to go.
When I had my kitchen remodeled, they put a light in with the thing. And I looked right up and saw a black spot. And I said to them, what's that? Oh, it's a bug. I said, no, it's not a bug. Oh, yes, it's a bug. I said, it's not a bug. That's an impossibility. Bugs don't come to my house. I don't believe in them. I don't believe in bugs in my house. If I see a bug crawling on the floor, I say, uh-uh, not here. Go someplace else. And they go someplace else. The neighbor upstairs has ants. I never have ants. Everyone says, oh, don't you have ants? No, I don't have ants. Why? Because I say to them, don't come into my house. I'll tell you a cute story about my mother. God bless her, and I did love the woman. She used to come to visit me when I lived in Georgia. And my mother had what I called a fly consciousness. I never had a fly in my house till this woman arrived. Then she'd be, there were flies everywhere. And she'd say, well, where's the fly swatter? Where's the fly swatter? Because she grew up with a fly swatter. I said, Mother, I haven't seen a fly swatter in years. I don't even think they make them any. She had a fly consciousness. She thought flies go in your house. I said, no, they don't. Now, when she would leave, so would the fly. So would the flies. This is true. We bring these things to us. That Aunt Catherine I talk about, she's scared to death of snakes. All she sees is snakes. They're crawling across her patio. They're in her basement. They're here, they're there.
How old is she?
Pardon, how old is she? 93. And where do these snakes come from? No one else seems to have these snakes. But there they are. Because she's scared to death of snakes. She draws that into her. Fear will draw things to you that fast. I always say fear draws things to you faster than love. You see? Because the emotion, we say, oh, when we love something, we love it. But the emotion isn't the same as fear. That's a big emotion, fear. And sure enough, we manifest that. So let all that fear, when you, if you're going to start to fear something, stop it. Stop that fear. Now, 10 to 1, when Aunt Catherine finally decides to make her transition, which I doubt that'll be anytime soon, the people who will buy that property will never see a snake. They won't see them. But she... Pardon, she probably doesn't either. Well, maybe. We'll ask. She's... her mind is crystal clear. She's still very sharp, so... But no, she does see these snakes. And she reports it, of course. I go to visit her. Remember, in the summertime, I never see a snake when I'm there. I never see a snake. Anyway, back to the whole thing. Tonight's thing was on appreciate. It was appreciated. The reason why I picked the word appreciated, I have discovered in my practice that so many people do not feel appreciated. They do not feel appreciated in their relationship. They do not feel appreciated at work. And they want appreciation. They want to be appreciated. If you want to be appreciated, you have to start in your own self and start to appreciate yourself. And don't look outside for your boss or somebody else to appreciate you. You didn't take the job to be appreciated. You took the job because you wanted the job or you wanted the money, but you didn't take it to be appreciated. And to sit around and say, I'm not appreciated, is absolutely ridiculous because you are appreciated. I told you earlier this evening, you're appreciated more than you will ever know. That is a little thing that the mind does to you to keep this whole thing and to keep you unsettled and to keep your mind not at peace. So it says, oh, well, that person didn't appreciate me. I'll never talk to them again. They don't appreciate me. What other people think about you is none of your business. You have to appreciate yourself. And if you start to appreciate yourself, people will start to appreciate you. Whatever you're looking for, you must become. Whatever you're looking for, you must become. So if you're looking for appreciation, you have to start appreciating yourself and everything around you. And lo and behold, you'll be appreciated. You must always set your own standard. And you must never allow yourself to feel unappreciated. You must never allow yourself to feel less than. So many people feel less than. That person is better than I am. That person is better looking. That person has more money. That. Don't make yourself feel less than. If we made that statement earlier that God doesn't show favorites, how could you be less than? Only in your own thinking, right? So you have to change your thinking and give that up. And if the world out there tells you, oh, you have to be appreciated, oh, I wouldn't take that job, they don't appreciate me. Go in there, take the job, start to appreciate yourself, make all those other people start to appreciate you, make them appreciate each other. You're the cause under your own experience.
Isn't hypercriticism or criticism of others also a sign of your, you feel less than?
Oh, absolutely. People.
And just as damaging?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. So if you have any little thing inside of you that makes you think that you're less than, give that up. That's a lie your mind is telling you. It's a lie you learn maybe from your parents, maybe from the world itself out there, from race mind. Give that up. It is not a truth. It is not a truth. You cannot be less than. You cannot be less than. Does anyone remember what Eleanor Roosevelt said? She said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. So why would you want to consent to any of that stuff? And why would you want to not do your job and to go to work all the time thinking that your boss didn't appreciate you? Learn to appreciate yourself. First of all, when you go to a job, when you have any job, any type of work, you have to realize that you're your boss, that you're the corporation, that you're not working for those people, you're working for yourself. And you set the standards for yourself. You set the rules for yourself. And don't let them bother you in the least. You're always working for yourself. Learn to know that. Actors must know that. You're working for yourself. That's the way it works. So anything that you're looking for, you must become. There's this wonderful little saying, and it goes, what you are looking for, you are looking with. What you are looking for, you are looking with. So if you want appreciation, you have to know that that's inside of you. That everything that you want is inside of you. Every quality that you want is inside of you. You did not come here incomplete. You are made in the image and likeness of God inwardly, meaning that you have every quality. If you're not using that quality, start to use that quality. William Shakespeare said, assume a virtue if you have it not. Assume a virtue if you have it not. Assume anything that you want, and you will become it. You see, you have to become what you want. If you want to be an actor, you must act. If you want to be rich, you must start to make money. You must do that, but you must become the thing itself. And you can do that. Why can you do that? Because you're working with a power that is unlimited. There is no limitation in the mind of God. And we all live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. And it's wonderful. So are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Yay.